Right now on VFN TV, why is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Uganda? Something happened 40 years ago. What was it? It was an aircraft taken hostage with Jews on it, and it was his brother that gave his life to free them. Right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Another headline read, "Does God play softball? Hail the size of softballs destroy thousands of homes and autos."
Terrifying storms lasting up to softball-sized hail.
A cyber event could actually shut down power grids, financial institutions, cause absolute chaos across the nation.
And it is with great sadness that I share we have not 20 but 50 casualties. In addition to the shooter, there are another 53 that are hospitalized.
During the calls, he said he was doing this for the leader of ISIL, who he named and pledged loyalty to.
Nations shall be shaken, but kingdoms will be jolted.
Voters in the United Kingdom have voted to leave the European Union.
We are in World War III, and so the Congress should be dealing with this.
So there is we've been infiltrated.
Who do you think is writing your foreign policy?
When the president of the free world stands and says that Islam is a religion of peace, he creates the climate. He provides the climate, the perfect climate, to create more terrorism.
Embracing a perverted interpretation of Islam that calls for war against America and the West.
Islam is about peace and brotherhood.
One of the prophetic dreams God gave us was how this current administration cut a covenant with Islam, and we're seeing specifically it looks like this thing is being walked out.
I just felt it in my spirit. I felt like the Lord was saying to me, if they divide Jerusalem, if America has a hand, if the Secretary of State or the President or whoever has a hand in causing Israel to divide Jerusalem and giving up that land for peace, I will divide America.
This begins at the local level. This is going to be a county-by-county fight. So sheriffs and pastors become two of the most important people groups.
The pastor and the sheriff are some of the most important folks in your community.
It's going to be full-scale war. It's going to be with all the capabilities of the IDF.
Best formula for achieving peace remains two states for two peoples, in which a demilitarized Palestinian state finally recognizes the Jewish state.
We can actually win the hearts over if we go out and begin to evangelize and share the love of God. Militant times are coming, but it's time for the church to be able to rise up.
The trend of embracing Israel will overcome the trend of maligning Israel.
Only a united church can heal a divided nation.
God is calling out the evangelists to arise and to proclaim the gospel with miracles, signs, and wonders, because this is the season for the glory of God to shine, and the world is going to know that Jesus the Savior is alive and well.
Let me be the one to at least share the good news about the Chinese. They are having the world's largest revival. About 28,000 to 30,000 people coming to Christ in China every single day. That's about 1 million a month.
What many say is the greatest spiritual awakening in southern West Virginia history.
Lord, you don't like the Chinese.
Billy Graham's mantle's coming on this nation. There was coming a call when the Gentile Rus would begin to unite together all across the globe and begin to declare, your people will be my people. We're declaring Jubilee is time for another great messianic awakening.
We Catholics, abbiamo ricevuto tanto.
We've dal received movimento di Azusa Street.
So much from the Azusa Street.
Ma vogliamo a voi protestanti.
We want to ask you Protestants. We want to ask for your forgiveness for not respecting the love of the law.
I want to walk with those who walk in agreement.
I'm telling you, we can make a difference.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
Smith Wigglesworth, he made this statement just before he died. Whenever the word comes together with the spirit, we will have the greatest spiritual awakening the world has ever known. If you say yes, I will go. Yes, I will mobilize. If you can't go, then you're responsible to mobilize those who can go.
This is so exciting to watch all these things take place. You know, we live in God.
Yes.
We abide with God, and we're excited about the things of God. And I believe the church is going to get excited again about the things of God.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is Steve Kalaszewski. Today, we're going to look and see why. What was the significance of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, going to Uganda? First, let's go there. They had an interview with him as he's arrived. This is 40 years anniversary of something we're about to talk about. Let's take a look.
The Israeli premier is making his maiden trip to Africa, the first such tour by an Israeli leader in more than five decades. A draft program indicates that Netanyahu was scheduled to land in Uganda at 1 p.m. today to attend the commemoration of 40 years since the daring operation at Entebbe International Airport to liberate Israeli hostages who had been hijacked by Palestinians. Netanyahu's brother, Yonatan, was killed in the July 4, 1976 commando raid. The Israeli Prime Minister is later scheduled to hold talks with his host, President Yoweri Museveni, and later leave for Nairobi. Netanyahu will be in Kenya for 3 days, following an invitation by President Uhuru Kenyatta. Israel, through Netanyahu's maiden tour of Africa, is hoping to strengthen its presence in the continent with an offer to assist in the fields of agriculture, cyberspace technology, and health. Aspects he touched on during an interview with Citizen TV's Hussein Mohammed in Jerusalem.
I think that Israel is coming back to Africa in a big way. Africa is coming back to Israel. Kenya is a centrally important country in Africa. It has very strong relations with Israel for many, many decades.
You say then, when President Uhuru Kenyatta and the told you, requested you to visit Kenya, you described this as a moment of Africa coming back to Israel and Israel going back to Africa.
Yes.
First, what exactly do you mean by this?
You know, Israel was present in many African countries, not only in Kenya, mm-hmm. which was a traditional friend, but in many African countries, and it ended because of political pressures from the Arab countries.
Mm-hmm.
In development, I mean things from water management to agriculture, to IT, to health, to science, everything. That's on the development side. And on the security side, it's obvious, because we know we're in a great common battle. And this is true of many African states. I think it's been true of Kenya for some time, so we should have had this trip before, but it's time.
While in Kenya, Netanyahu and his delegation will hold bilateral talks with his host, President Uhuru Kenyatta, and other members of the government. Francis Gashuri, Citizen Live, at 1.
This is so significant because, as you're looking right here, you're looking at Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's brother. His name is Jonathan Netanyahu. And something happened 40 years ago, July the 4th, 1976, that he led, and we're going to talk about that today to understand how significant this is when Israel's coming back and realize what he said was, well, we were here in Africa, but because of Islam, because of the Muslim population, they actually ran us out of Africa. That's what he was talking about, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Well, during that time is when they took a plane hostage of Israelis on that plane. And it was his brother, Jonathan, in 1976 that went there as a lieutenant colonel to be able to free these hostages. It was a very dramatic thing. But we're going to talk about that today. right now on BFN-TV. But first, go to this break. We're going to come right back, and we're going to go right to the details that took place and see what happened July the 4th, 1976, and how big this day is, the fact that Israel's back in Uganda. Join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
These times are harvest times. Think about this. How would your church handle 1,000 new members every week? And we all think that would be incredible. It will kill you. We've got to start thinking like that. I tell you, we need to raise up hundreds of thousands of teachers. It is not going to work on the model of ministry that is now demonstrated in much of the church. Where you, it's like a spectator sport. You pay your entry fee and come watch a few people do it every week. No, we've all got to be engaged. I believe there's a home group movement. And we've had many and great ones. I believe you're going to have home groups in every single neighborhood that are solid, where God is moving, where he is doing awesome things every week, every day, and where people are bonded together.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN-TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN-TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Well, you're looking at over my shoulder here at Jonathan Netanyahu. You hear them say Yanni. You're going to hear that name mentioned, you know, Jonathan, which is
Hebrew, Yanni, which is Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's brother. And 40 years ago, July the 4th, 40 years ago, 1976, he led a Operation Thunderbolt.
Yeah, that's what they call it now. At the time, it was called Operation, I believe, Entebbe.
Entebbe, at the airport there. But I want you to hear this. I want you to see if you're going to see some pictures and stuff that was taking place during that time to kind of put you in this place mm-hmm. of Uganda and what was taking place at the time and why it's so significant for now Jonathan's brother, who is now the prime minister of mm-hmm. Israel, to come back at a time like that and realize they were ran out by Islam. They ran out by mm-hmm. Muslims who were compliant to Sharia law and the Sunni and all different things there. And they're coming back, but it was radical terrorism in 1976 that hijacked this plane. So this stuff wasn't just happen yesterday. That's why everybody's so shocked that has any kind of wisdom. Why in the world would our president want to partner with the Muslim Brotherhood? Why mm-hmm. would they want to put members of the Muslim Brotherhood on our Homeland Security Advisory? Why would we remove every mention of radical Islamic terrorism from our law enforcement books? Because this is what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Read about what happened so we can see a few pictures why you're doing that. But just put us in the mindset of what sure. was taking place.
Operation Entebbe was a successful counter-terrorist hostage rescue mission carried out by commandos of the Israeli Defense Forces at Entebbe Airport in Uganda on July 4th, 1976. A week earlier, on June 27th, an Air France plane with 248 passengers had been hijacked by two members of the Popular Front of the Liberation of Palestine External Operations under orders of Wadi Haddad and two members of the German Revolutionary Cells. The hijackers had the stated objective to free 40 Palestinian and affiliate militants imprisoned in Israel and 13 prisoners in four other countries in exchange for the hostages. The flight, which had originated in Tel Aviv with the destination of Paris, was diverted after a stopover in Athens via Benghazi to Entebbe, the main airport of Uganda. The Ugandan government supported the hijackers, and dictator Idi Amin personally welcomed them. After moving all hostages from the aircraft to a disused airport building, the hijackers separated all Israelis and several non-Israeli Jews from the larger group and forced them into a separate room. Over the following 2 days, 148 Israeli hostages were released and flown out to Paris. 94 mainly Israeli passengers, along with the 12-member Air France crew, remained as hostages and were threatened with death. The IDF acted on information provided by the Israeli intelligence agency, Mossad. The hijackers threatened to kill the hostages if their prisoner release demands were not met. This threat led to the planning of the rescue operation. These plans included preparation for armed resistance from Ugandan military troops. The operation took place at night. Israeli transport planes carried 100 commandos over 2,500 miles to Uganda for the rescue operation. The operation, which took a week of planning, lasted 90 minutes. 102 hostages were rescued, 5 Israeli commandos were wounded, and 1, the unit commander, Lieutenant Colonel Yonatan Netanyahu, was killed. All the hijackers, 3 hostages, and 45 Ugandan soldiers were killed, and 30 Soviet-built MiG-17s and MiG-21s of Uganda's Air Force were destroyed. Kenyan sources supported Israel, and in the aftermath of the operation, Idi Amin issued orders to retaliate and slaughter several hundred Kenyan present in Uganda. Operation Entebbe, which had the military codename Operation Thunderbolt, is sometimes referred to retroactively as Operation Jonathan, in memory of the unit's leader, Yonatan Netanyahu. He was the older brother of Benjamin Netanyahu, the current prime minister of Israel.
You're looking at him right there. That is Jonathan mm-hmm. Netanyahu. And who knows better yeah. than Bibi, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, how important it is to stand up against radical Islam. His own brother gave his life to be able to free their fellow citizens who were taken hostage because they were Jews.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw maybe on an earlier program where we talked about the belief system of the Muslim Brotherhood, the belief system of radical Islam, Sharia, the caliphate, and you know, you either convert to Islam, you either become a servant, which would be a slave to Islam, or you put the smite the neck of the unbeliever, you die. And so there the obviously they have to stand up to be able to defend themselves. And we as Americans, we used to do the same thing. We used to stand with Israel, and I believe we're going to stand again. But we saw he gave it. So you have a prime minister whose brother gave his life against radical Islam. And who understands it better? He himself, of course, obviously served in the Israeli Defense Force. He's been a great prime minister. But our own president reportedly was supporting the opposition candidate running against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, trying to take him out and have the other man win the election. And, of course, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's quote is saying, like, that was the best thing that could ever happen to me, because once he came over and started supporting my opposition, that helped me in the polls to win the election. Mm. Why are we trying to support somebody who embraces radical Islam and you know, nuclear weapons for or nuclear capabilities for Iran? They're blowing up aircraft carriers, mock aircraft carriers of America, saying death with America, death to Israel. And it's like, these are crazy days.
Well, we're giving billions of dollars to those who are developing nuclear weapons to try to attack.
And we're
Israel.
Seeing what, you know, this is Jonathan Netanyahu, his brother, gave his life. Mm-hmm. The one person who died on the team, which is now called Operation Thunderbolt, his life was given to be able to free these Jewish citizens from radical Islam. And I want you to, this particular organization did an excellent job of putting together an animation that explains in detail what actually took place when this tragedy took place in regards to Uganda and the plane being taken, hijacked, and took the Israeli citizens to Uganda. Let's take a look and watch exactly what you know Steve just read, but you're going to see it visually and explain. You're going to hear Yanni. When you hear Yanni, that's Jonathan. Jonathan Netanyahu, Bibi's, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's brother. Let's watch.
None of the 260 passengers and crew on a routine Air France flight from Tel Aviv to Paris were suspicious of the four people who boarded during a stopover in Athens. But within 15 minutes, the German-Palestinian terrorist squad had taken over the plane, forcing it to land in Entebbe, Uganda, where they were joined by more armed terrorists. After releasing most of the non-Israeli passengers, they threatened that if 53 jailed terrorists weren't freed by July 4th, they would massacre all the remaining 106 hostages. The Israeli government began to negotiate, while the Army and Mossad started gathering intelligence and searching for military rescue options. It was a seemingly impossible mission. Entebbe was 2,400 miles away, in the heart of Africa, and the route there went through the airspace of enemy countries. Even if Israeli commandos could make it there unharmed, they would have to operate in unfamiliar surroundings with limited intel. If that wasn't enough, in addition to the terrorists, the airport was alive with hostile Ugandan army troops. But even if they overcame all these obstacles, they had yet to overcome the biggest challenge, time. They had to surprise the terrorists and eliminate them swiftly before they could execute the hostages, deeming the entire operation a failure. The task of planning the hostages' rescue and fighting the Ugandan army was given to Israel's elite Sayeret Matkal, led by Lieutenant Colonel Yoni Netanyahu.
Within less than 48 hours of planning by Yoni and his officers and training of the unit, a daring plan was prepared and the force was ready for action.
According to the overall plan of the IDF, four Hercules planes holding a selection of Israel's finest military and commando units would fly to Uganda at low altitude in order to evade enemy radar.
After landing, the rescue force headed by Yoni would move in a convoy led by a Mercedes mimicking Ugandan President Idi Amin's car in order to confuse the Ugandan soldiers and buy precious time on their way to the old terminal.
Other Sayeret forces would neutralize any Ugandan military reinforcements and disable the Ugandan fighter jets to prevent an aerial pursuit. The Israeli commandos struck with precision and speed.
I heard someone shouting that Yoni was hit. In parallel to this, the glass shattered and someone shot me in an automatic burst of fire from the inside. I shot him back. At the same time, my commander catched up with me. I turned left and killed another two terrorists. Within 15 seconds, four terrorists were dead, and the whole operation was secured.
Within less than an hour since landing, the hostages were on board the planes on their way home. Despite the heroic efforts of the medical team, Yoni died of his wounds. The bold operation amazed the world and gave hope to Jews across the globe.
During my 9 years in prison, each time I heard an airplane in the skies of Ural, I thought about Entebbe, and I knew that a day will come when an Israeli airplane will take me home.
Yoni, an unknown hero until the operation, was mourned by the entire nation and became a legacy of courage, commitment, and leadership for generations of Israeli commanders.
So Jonathan Netanyahu, Benjamin Netanyahu's brother, was the hero, and he's been a hero, a light for all of Israel, and it specifically was about a battle with radical Islam. And, you know, we just seen some pretty major things taking place, and it's like, why would we, a friend of Israel, you know, that we've stood with Israel, that we would change sides at some point? And to change sides from Israel is to change sides from God. God is the one who watches over Israel. He doesn't slumber or sleep. All the nations will be judged in the valley of Jehoshaphat based off the decision of what we did with Israel, what we did with the land. And so to leave, it's not just some sort of political maneuver. It's not just some sort of new season of how we're going to do things. If you leave Israel and you abandon Israel and you fuel the enemies of Israel, you know, you're signing a death certificate for your nation. You're signing, you know, the judgment in the Valley of Jehoshaphat of decisions, what that means. We'll be judged on how we dealt with the land of Israel. And so it is important for us to understand, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu and how he's standing up as the prime minister of Israel, to understand that our president allegedly went over there, including former President Bill Clinton, I believe, and supported the opposition candidate who would have actually bought into giving up more land, fueling the weapons into nuclear power into Iran, and these crazy things that you – it's not crazy if you don't think in your mind that Israel is just a piece of land, piece of real estate. But if you understand that it is a land that God has given Israel, that he's watching over to prove himself mighty, it's the land that Jesus Christ walked on, the Son of God, to be able to show the love of God to all of us, to all mankind. It is the land that God is going to come back and send his Son back again, and his feet are going to land on the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split in two. And the eastern gate of Jerusalem, where all of, you know, a lot of Islam planted, buried a whole bunch of bodies there and bricked up the eastern gate like that's going to hold God back. He's going to walk through the eastern gate in Jerusalem. It's a very important land. That's why the enemy wants to stir up so much strife and wants it. But notice he cannot get it. It will never not be a land again, God's land again. But we're going to talk more about this to understand this better and to revisit, you know, what happened when he went to Uganda. That was a man, a brother coming 40 years later after his own brother died to free his own fellow citizens of a hostage situation where his fellow citizens were taken hostage by radical Islam. Join us after the break. First, we have this offer for you. Offer 2009, best place to stand when fighting the good fight of faith, Galatians 2:20. Not only is it important to know and to understand your enemy, it is just as important to be able to fight your enemy from a stable place where your footing is stable. We're clearly told that our enemy is not a physical enemy, but a spiritual one. Spiritual forces of evil, powers, and principalities. In this message, through sharing a vision that Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries had and he wrote about in Final Quest, we'll be able to identify the best place to fight the good fight of faith and to be able to set the captives free. But also, we'll set you above your enemy so your enemy's weapons can't even reach you, those spiritual enemies. It's a powerful teaching. Listen, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. This is a powerful revelation. You'll find out more about it as a free offer for your gift of any amount. It's offer 2009, best place to stand when fighting the good fight of faith. You can simply just go to our website at VFNTV.
bfntv.com and click on partner and follow the prompts. Or you can write to us at BFNTV, 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Or you can even call at 844-408-3688. That's 844-408-3688. It's offer 2009 for your gift of any amount.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It doesn't matter what Washington does, Jesus wins. It doesn't matter what North Korea does, Jesus wins. It doesn't matter what ISIS does, Jesus wins. Because at the end of it all, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means strategeia, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish His purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church that you be a part of the apostolic church arising.
Young girls often are naturally interested in fashion, but there are some dangers. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. You know, in a culture that markets to girls with messages of beauty and perfection, Dana Gresh has some words of caution.
The research really indicates that young girls who are exposed to fashion products too soon, who are overconsumed with their body and beauty image, that they're more at risk of eating disorders, depression, and an early sexual debut in their teen years. And then when they're young adult women and they're in that first few years of their marriage relationship, that they have so many scars on their heart and so many body image issues that they can't enjoy the gift that God has given to them.
You'll find tips for good conversations with your tween daughter at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell,
mm-hmm,
and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And He introduced His Father through Himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through His awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So you're looking at, if you missed our previous program, you got to catch it. The entire program is based on how our president decided with whoever his team is that they were going to partner with Islam. They're going to partner with the Muslim Brotherhood, the leaders and this type of thing. And we're seeing radical Islam, what it did 40 years ago, July the 4th, 1976, where Jonathan Netanyahu, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's brother, gave his life, was taken by radical Islam. And you see how our president has treated Jonathan's brother, Benjamin Netanyahu. I mean, just take a look at this particular video of clips of what our president, how our president has treated Israel, how we've treated the leader of Israel, the very one whose brother gave his life because of radical Islam, trying to free his citizens. And the whole time, our president is partnered with the Muslim Brotherhood, partnering with Islam, saying, I consider it my job to defend Islam from every negative stereotype, no matter where it's found. And watch how he's treating the leader of Israel. And you understand, this is a land that God does not take his eye off of. And he's watching what we as a people chose as our leadership to be able to do that to Israel. So when he's doing it, we're doing it as a people. Take a watch.
You know, you said the other day to Jeffrey Goldberg in an interview that you plan to be around 20 years from now. Yeah. Therefore, you'll feel responsible if Iran gets nuclear by then. And I just realized perhaps you plan to be many years more around, if only to postpone the moment that Bibi comes speak at the funeral.
That was one of my better jokes.
You enjoyed the punch, did you?
That was a good joke.
You know, can we skip the part in which you tell me there's nothing personal between you two?
Yeah, you know, I will tell you this. I when I'm with Bibi, we have good conversations. They're tough, they're forceful. We disagree, but I enjoy jousting with him.
Did you enjoy the meeting? You remember the meeting 4 years ago here at the White House when he took the time to speak about some chapters in Jewish history? I could see your jaws locked.
Oh no, I think I was probably just hungry and waiting for lunch. There's no doubt that Prime Minister Netanyahu and I come from different political traditions.
Palestinian leader right there.
Have different orientations.
You're looking at right there was the Palestinian leader, right, of Hamas party, sitting there walking with the president and with Bibi. I mean, look at that. Jonathan gave his life. His brother gave his life against radical rescuing citizens of Israel from a hijacked plane 40 years ago. That's what he's. That's just how significant. That's why we started this whole program with him going back to Uganda and what just happened there. And so when we do this to Israel, when Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu came to America and he's saying, listen, these scuds that are coming our way, they could reach us a long time ago. He said, this thing's coming towards you, America. As a matter of fact, let's actually listen to what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said will be the outcome of us doing what we're doing. Yeah. Take a look.
And the important point to make is this. Iran's missiles can already reach Israel. So those ICBMs that they're building, they're not intended for us. You remember that beer commercial? This bud's for you? Well, when you see Iran building ICBMs, just remember, America, that's God's for you.
That's what he's saying. I mean, the missiles could reach Israel all along. And if you saw a previous program, the entire program was built precept upon precept to understand there's something inside of the mindset of our current leadership that says America is a bad country. It's done bad things. Everything. If you're an enemy of America, you're a friend of these current leadership. And so when you're looking at, you know, one particular man said this. One particular man, I believe he calls himself a prophet. He says, anytime God wants to discipline a nation, he has that nation turn against Israel. Because if you harm Israel, God harms you. Mm-hmm. If he wants to bless a nation, he has that nation support Israel. Well, look what's going on. We have great discipline coming our way if we don't shift and change. So one of the most important things that we have to do right now as Americans is to get our life right with God.
Yeah.
Is to ask the question, just like Elijah went to the top of the Mount Carmel and he said, you've got to choose who's your God. You know, is Muhammad
you know, is Allah your God, or is God the Abraham, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob your God? Who is your God? And so here we are at that particular point. And that the answer to that question is so important, mm-hmm. because if you just look at history, some of the things that you may consider minor now that we've seen this, that America did to Israel and the repercussions that we got, one being five hurricanes that hit Florida in one particular year, where Governor Jeb Bush was mm-hmm. the governor, was the president's brother. And it's things we begin to just, Lord knows how significant this is going to mm-hmm. be, but God's getting our attention here. And we get back from this break, we want to see, because Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says, listen, we were here in Africa, but it's because of Islam, Islam, that they ran us out. But we're back. We're here to help you with IT, you know, technical things. We're here to help with healthcare and agriculture. When we get back, we're going to see firsthand exactly how Israel does in one aspect, mm-hmm. agriculture, around the world. It's amazing what Israel's doing. Listen, you want to be a friend of God. You want to be a friend of Israel. And one way to do that is to stand up for sanity in regards yes. to, listen, we need to stand with Israel. Join us after the break.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The question is, can you be thankful where you are?
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there. You can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well.
And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Listen, we want to go right to just one of the things that Israel's doing, because Bibi said to the leaders there in Uganda, says, we were in Africa. We've been helping out. We're coming back to help again. They help nations all around the world. And one way they do that is through agriculture. Take a look now.
In 1867, Mark Twain toured the land of Israel, known back then as Palestine. Here's how he described it. A desolate country whose soil is rich enough, but is given over wholly to weeds. A silent, mournful expanse. There was hardly a tree or a shrub anywhere. Palestine sits in sackcloth and ashes, desolate and unlovely. Today, Mark Twain wouldn't even recognize this land. Out of rocky soil, out of swamps, and even out of deserts, Israelis have created gardens, vineyards, and farms with some of the most innovative techniques in the world.
It was just this country with incredible dynamism and energy and excitement and food and people and a sense of family and ultimately a sense of belonging.
It's been said that the modern state of Israel was born on the kibbutz. So it's only natural that much of Israel's innovation was born there as well.
The kibbutz is the cornerstone in a lot of ways of a lot of things in Israeli society.
People came back wanting to create a collective and an equal society. And these kibbutzim became a very, very effective way to defend the land, to start getting young people engaged in agriculture. Remember, Jews were forbidden in most countries of the world to actually own land or to work the land. Jews couldn't be farmers. To all of a sudden see a generation of Jews farming the land in a collective environment, it was incredible.
Before Israel even became a state, Jews by the thousands came to live there on communal farms. But when they arrived in the Promised Land, it wasn't exactly flowing with milk and honey. The coastal plains were swampy, the Galilee and the Judean hills were rocky, and the southern half of the country was mostly desert.
Since the people of Israel left our homeland 2,000 years ago, the area was mismanaged. So we want to preserve and rehabilitate this holy land.
The early Jewish settlers faced a number of obstacles, from bad soil to Bedouin raiders. But they faced an even bigger enemy that threatened to destroy the Jewish state before it began. In the early decades of the 20th century, Israel was a breeding ground for mosquitoes carrying malaria. They overtook the coastal plains and the Jordan Valley, the only land available for Jews to buy since the local Arabs had decided it was uninhabitable. In 1920, more than a third of all Jewish residents of Palestine had malaria. So with no other choice, they went to work. They drained the swamps and sprayed the land and changed the flow of water and irrigation canals to interrupt the mosquitoes' breeding. They were so successful that a commission from the League of Nations visited Palestine to learn what they did. Less than 20 years after Israel's statehood, the country was officially malaria-free. Once the threat of malaria was gone, Jewish settlers were free to focus on making the desert bloom. In the coastal plains, citrus groves replaced the swamps. And the Jordan Valley, once the center of the malaria epidemic, now became the country's breadbasket. the Negev desert blossomed with newly planted forest and vineyards. And the Arava, once the most arid part of Israel, became the site of a flourishing vegetable industry. All of this was accomplished in the first 20 years of Israel's statehood. In that time, they more than doubled their standard of living. And now they're using their experience to help other countries. In the 1970s, they created a new breed of cherry tomato that's disease resistant and has a longer shelf life. They also bred a new kind of potato that can be grown in hot, dry climates and irrigated by salt water. These vegetables are now being grown in dry countries like Jordan, Egypt, and Morocco. Israeli scientists not only found ways to grow more crops, they also found new ways to preserve them. GrainPro cocoons provide an inexpensive way for farmers to keep their grain market fresh by keeping out water, air, and insects. The Israeli cocoons are being used in Africa, the Far East, and even Pakistan, a nation with no diplomatic ties to Israel.
The kibbutz over time began to change. Israeli society began to change, became more capitalistic, became more focused on free enterprise and entrepreneurship and the individual taking responsibility for himself and therefore benefiting the overall society. There have been many very exciting companies that have been built in kibbutzim.
One of those companies is now doing business around the world.
He went to the average Israeli 10, 12 years ago and said to them, organic, they wouldn't have a clue what you were talking about. Here we've been doing organic farming for over 40 years.
Kibbutz Ste Eliyahu was founded by German refugees in 1934, and many of their early members were survivors of the Holocaust.
So the biggest problem that we had when we started the organic was, what do you do if you're not using chemicals? How do you get rid of the pests?
Their answer was to fight bugs with more bugs.
Every single thing in nature has a natural enemy. What eats or what attacks these pests that are attacking our crops?
They started breeding different insects in the bomb shelter of the kibbutz. The idea was to breed predators to destroy the pests that ate their crops. The result was a new company called BioBee.
We went to the Israeli farmers. We said, you want to buy some bugs? They said, what, are you crazy? We don't have enough bugs in the field. You want us to buy bugs?
Eventually, they won over farmers in Israel and in 32 other countries as well. In California, 60% of the strawberry fields are treated with products from BioBee. The company also found a way to deal with one of the region's most devastating insects, the Mediterranean fruit fly.
We take the males of the species and we sterilize them. And then we release the sterile males into the environment. There's no future generation. And slowly, slowly, we lower the population without using harmful chemicals.
They also solved another agricultural problem, how to pollinate greenhouse plants.
The classic example we like to give is tomato plants. Tomato plants in nature, in the fields, are pollinated by the wind. In Israel, the majority of our tomatoes are not grown in the fields. They're grown in greenhouses. And in a greenhouse, in a climate-controlled environment, you don't have that wind. You don't have the natural pollination. We had to find other methods of pollination.
Their solution was to breed bumblebees.
They collect pollen for food. They have to go and work even in cold weather conditions. They don't have stores of honey in the hive. They have to go and work. We're saving the farmer money because instead of paying people, the bees are doing the work. And the bees, unlike people, they don't miss a single flower. So once the farmers started using the bees for pollination, the yield of the tomato crops increased by 25%. In Hebrew, we say, Marabu Ma'asech Elokim, you know, how great and wonderful are your creations, God. And this really shows that every single thing has a reason. There's a purpose for everything, these tiny little things. And look how much good they do for us, for the world, for the farmers, for the environment. It's really, really amazing.
Farmers at Ste Eliyahu not only targeted insects, they also found a creative way to get rid of rodents as well.
What we used to do is basically used to take poison in a bottle, in a teaspoon, and somebody's job was to walk up and down the rows, and every time they saw a mouse hole, to take a teaspoon of poison and throw it down the hole. Now, obviously, that's not ecologically friendly. On top of that, if it rains or if we irrigate our fields, all that poison's going in the grounds. So we said, what is a natural solution to rodents? And the natural solution that we found is the barn owl. Barn owl is an amazing raptor. Two owls can capture an average of 2,000 to 5,000 mice a year. Okay, that's a lot of rodents.
There was just one problem with the owls.
They fly away. And one of the places they would fly to is Jordan, which is very close by. In Jordan, they were shooting them. In Arab folklore, the barn owl is a harbinger of death. And they're very superstitious about barn owls. So they see in a barn owl, they shoot it. So very simply, we went to Jordan, and we invited the Jordanian farmers to come to Staleo to see what we were doing here. This was over 20 years ago. And today we have over 2,600 nesting boxes across the country. Numbers keep growing. But also it's become a wonderful program of regional cooperation, also with Jordan, also with the Palestinian Authority. This has been amazing, amazing success story. We tell the people it's not the dove bringing peace anymore to the Middle East, it's the barn owl. We're a light unto the nations, we're supposed to be anyway. If we want to really save the environment, if we really want to help the world, then we can't keep these things to ourselves. We have to share these things. We have to share this knowledge. And I think by helping others, we're helping ourselves as well.
So when you're hearing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu talk about, we've been here before, we want to come back, this is what we do, is bring this kind of aid. That's just agricultural.
Yeah.
And we're closing this program out, and I want to be able to pray with you, but this is what Israel, he says, I'll bless you to be a blessing. So he told Abraham, I'll bless you to be a blessing. Did you know that you call yourself a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
That God's blessed you to be a blessing to all the nations. And Israel's doing that,
Yeah. You
know, as a Jewish nation. They've been blessed, and they are really blessing it. So many things that we have today, including the Pentium processors and facial recognition and just all kinds of medical and agricultural and little small little tomatoes that you
cherry
see.
Cherry tomatoes.
Yeah. There's tons of different things. That they've created and invented, that more patents have been created there, I think, than
the startup nation.
Startup nation. And it's just because God is blessing them.
Yeah.
And it's so cool now to see Israel coming back into Africa in that way, because it's going to be such a blessing. Just join me in prayer. Let's just pray for the peace of Israel, the protection, and pray for our leaders that they would just turn from coming against Israel and stand with Israel and stand with God. Father God, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. We thank you for Jonathan Netanyahu that gave his life to be able to free the citizens, God. He's just such a hero. And we thank you, Lord, for the president that's receiving Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Father God, and saying, you know, we want to be different. We want to stand up for what's right. We want to partner with Israel. We want to be part of the holy nation, God. And we just bless that country for taking such a stand, and a president for taking such a stand, God. And we just pray right now, Father God, that you would protect Israel, God. Forgive us, God, for what our leaders have done in contradiction to what you expect of us of a nation. Lord, cause our leadership to be in agreement with your plan over Israel and over the church, Father God. Forgive us for the sin of offending and harming Israel, Lord God, and restore, Lord, the original intent that you have for this nation. God, bless Israel. And bless America, we pray, in Jesus' name. And dear God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you, But you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about these, like, these books. They got the books memorized, you know. They got, like, this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh, my goodness. And the greatest thing that, we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that, God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to, find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.